Good morning, guys. I'd like to talk to you this morning in our Sunday school class. We're going to be talking about Esther chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and talk about what the Lord gave us this week for Sunday school class. Miss being with you guys, miss seeing you. I've enjoyed the text that I've got throughout the weeks that we've been going about the sermons and the classes that we've been working on, and it's been a blessing to me. It makes me desire for us to get back together to see what we can bring out of God's Word together as we study it. So we've been in the book of Esther for some time now, and we're getting back to it in Esther chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. We'll read that and then get into what's going on this week. So this is what the Bible says. It says, "On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with Haman the Agite, and said, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king." Last time we were together, we talked about Esther, and we talked about the third time that the king asked her what her request was. He asked her that it could be given into her up unto the half the kingdom, and she was trying to get to the point where that she could tell the king about Haman's plan to destroy Mordecai and to destroy the Jews. And we find here in the end of chapter 7 that they come to the point, and Esther eventually gives the king what his request was. She tells her what was on her heart. And we learned probably a couple months ago that Esther had two banquets. And in the first banquet, something wasn't quite right. She had the ability to discern when was the right and wrong time to speak. And something wasn't quite right at that time, so she put it off to the second banquet. And in chapter 7, we find that in verse 4, it says, she makes this plea personal to the king. She says, "For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish." And one thing that's interesting about chapter 7, verse 4 is that we find that is the first time that Esther associates herself with the Jewish nation, and she includes herself in the people that would be destroyed if Haman's law would come to pass and the Jews would be destroyed. So Esther made it personal. She knew that when she went before the king that she held favor in the king's eyes. We talked about a couple weeks ago that when King Ahasuerus was choosing another queen, that she found favor in his eyes and he loved her above all the women. So Esther had a certain ability. She had a different standing with the king than any other Jew would have had. And Mordecai challenged her that you've came to the kingdom for such a time as this. So she goes before the king and tells the king of Haman's plan of destruction. And the king, they hang Haman at the end of chapter 7. And that brings us to chapter 8 of what's going to happen now. So in chapter 8, we have what's going on here is that the king Ahasuerus, he gave the house of Haman to the Jews, the enemy unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what was unto her. So one thing that's very important in chapter 8 is to realize that Mordecai's stand paid off. This book is so relevant, I think, to what's going on in society today, to what's going on actually right now. We can draw so many applications out of this book about what's happening in the world and how our faith can be developed through times of trials and times of adversity. I don't know what you're going through. I don't like the thing to say that I understand what you're going through. We're all going through different circumstances of different people through isolation. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're in financial distress. maybe you're just tired of being with your kids every day and you're working from home or something of that nature. Maybe it's simple. Maybe it's complex, whatever it may be. But this book has developed a faith in me personally that whatever this should show to me that whatever comes my way, my faith should begin to be developed because of these amazing stories that take place in the Word of God. And they're to be examples for us to show us that no matter what comes our way, our faith should be grounded. We should be not swayed or blew around like the wind or anything of that nature, but we should begin to develop a foundational faith that we can stand strong in times of trials and adversities. And we find Mordecai here in the first part. He was mourning. He was sad. He was tore up about what Haman was trying to do to the Jews. But we find in this situation that Mordecai's, his stand never wavered. He didn't back off on what he believed. He stood for what he believed. We don't really find Mordecai protesting that much in the way that we define protesting. We find him ripping his clothes and putting on sackcloth, things of that nature. But we don't see him holding up a picket sign or anything of that type. He basically, whenever he learns of it, he mourns. But he goes back to his post to serve the king in whatever capacity that was for Mordecai at the time. But Mordecai's stand, it paid off. I mean, he did what he believed was right. He stood up for what he believed was right. And it brought him to a place to where he inherited what was eventually purposed against him. And you know, this story in chapter 8, verse 1, it's got a lot of similarities to Joseph in the book of Genesis. And Joseph in Genesis 50, verse 20 says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as to this day to save much people alive." And isn't it amazing that in these situations we find Mordecai in, and you know this, a lot of you know the story of Joseph, you find Joseph in, that they can look back across their lives and they can say, hey, this thing that was meant to destroy me, this thing that was brought up against me, this adversary, whatever it may be, was brought up against me, that was meant to harm me, but God, the God that we serve, the God that we should have faith in, the God that is nothing is out of his control, the God that controls the universe. He put the universe into existence. He created you. You're in this time, like we talked about last time, you're in this time for a purpose. God has planted you here. He wasn't trying to fill space with humanity. He put you here for this time, but God, he meant it unto good. And so many times we look at trials and tribulations as a thing that was meant to destroy us. But the way we read about Joseph and Mordecai, the adversity placed in our lives brings us to a place that we will be able to accept what the king is going to offer us if we stand, and it'll pay off. And so many times, I mean, how easy would it have been for Mordecai just to mourn and not did anything about what was going on? I mean, it's so easy to just sit back and go with the status quo and just kind of complain at how bad everything is and look around and watch the news and just get on Facebook and scroll through things and just become in a miserable state. But if we begin to read the Word of God and we begin to understand what's going on, we begin to see that Mordecai, he still did what he was called to do. He still stood where he felt like he was supposed to stand. And we find here that it says, "On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king for Esther. He had told her what it was unto her. And the king took off his ring which he had taken from Haman and gave it unto Mordecai." And now listen to this. "And Esther said, Mordecai over the house of Haman." Now that word house basically means all of the belongings, everything that Haman had, now Mordecai is in charge of that. And that's an amazing thing to know. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." So a good man, wise in what he does, he will not only have an inheritance for his children, but he'll have enough for his children's children. But watch this. "And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." And when we think about, when we look at this passage of scripture and we look at what Haman meant to Mordecai, and we look about what was going on in their lives, we see that Mordecai, it could have looked really dark and gloomy for him at some times. I mean, you think about the idea of death, and we think about the idea that Mordecai was in a situation that if this decree would have came to pass, if Haman would have succeeded, Mordecai ultimately faced death. I mean, talking about being in a situation to where you've got to do something. I want to ask you the question today with what's going on for the last 2 or 3 weeks. How have you placed yourself in a situation, whether it be facing something, have you placed yourself in, I'm just going to sit here and mourn and not do anything about it? Or has my faith been developed to a point where I am able to stand and believe God that He's going to take care of me no matter what the circumstances? And I think this time, more than anything, this is an opportunity for us as Christians to rise up and say, hey, there's darkness out there. There's things going around. There's people panicking. There's people asking questions. There's people doing things that they've never done before. There's all these different opportunities for us in our lives to reach out to different people all around us and talk to them and say, hey, what makes you like you are? Why does this not seem to shake you? What's different about you? Why are you still happy when everybody's so sad? What is inside of you that makes you different? And when I see Mordecai, you see a guy that he stood up. He began to put things into action. He began to make things happen. He began to talk to Esther. He began to put her into a position to where she was able to go before the king, and he leaded her and he guided her through where she needed to be. And I just think in today's society, like, instead of Christians panicking, instead of us being, if you allow me to say it this way, being part of the problem and part of the hoarding and all these different things, there should be a firm foundational faith inside of us that says, hey, I'm going to be prepared, but hey, this isn't going to steal my joy. This isn't going to steal my faith. This isn't going to steal what God has planted inside of me. I've got the Word of God. I've been studying it. I've been looking into it. And all those people throughout the Word of God, you know, different trials, different adversities came their way, but it didn't shake who they were in Christ. And this is an amazing time. We've never been in a situation like this before in my lifetime, but what an amazing opportunity this is before us, not only to succeed, but to come out on the other side of it better than we went in. See, and that's the Christian mentality I think that we should have, is like, we can come out of this thing better than when we went in. Mordecai, when he came into this, he was basically just sitting at the king's gate, and now he's over Haman's empire that Haman had. And Haman wasn't a poor guy. Haman was a really wealthy man. And why can't we as Christians come out of this thing better than we went in? You know, Ephesians 3:20 says this. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or thing, according to the power that worketh in us. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Anything that we're asking or thinking of, why can't we as Christians, why can't we as a born-again, blood-bought Christian, why can't we come out of this thing better than we went in? Why can't we come out of this situation stronger, more faith, financially secure, all those different things that people are going throughout this thing that we've got going on around us? Why can't we come out of this better than we went in? And I believe God's going to do some things. I believe God's working in this world. I believe God's working in Dunbar, West Virginia. I see different things. I see God moving. And like I said last week, I believe God's showing us that this isn't necessarily about a building made out of 2x4s and drywall and siding and different things, but this is about a people of God that He has chosen. And I believe it's up to us to show the world, hey, we can come out of this thing better than we went in. So listen, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I can't wait to get back with you in class. It's been a challenging time to record myself and put it out here for you guys, but I hope this blesses you, what the Lord showed me this week. I hope your week's going good. I've been thinking about you guys a lot. It might sound strange, but when I'm studying, I can almost close my eyes and look around the class, and I can see like different people where they sit and all those different natures. And we miss you guys. We miss seeing you and hugging on you and praying with you and different things. But listen, have a great day. Just remember that God's still in control. Just remember that we can come out of this thing better than we went in if we're faithful to God, and He can bless us. Have a great day. Love you guys.